During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
He's the only man to interview modern-day gladiators at Arrowhead and original gladiators in the Coliseum. He grew up rooting for Honus Wagner and saw Jesse Owens get 4 golds in Berlin. He saw Wilt score 100 in a night. Points, of course. Yes, we are saying he's old. It's the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bohl, on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. Frank Bohl is with us, brought to you by our good friends at Family Leisure. You know, they've been locally owned and operated for more than a quarter century. That's right, 25 years. Take advantage of their floor model spa sale going on, their after Christmas sale going on right now. They've got great, great deals. And if you mention 810, you save even more. Everything you need for fun with the family. Maybe it's a fire pit for gathering together on a chilly evening. Maybe you need the patio furniture. How about the man cave? You looking to get some theater seating to binge watch your favorite shows or watch the game with the fellas? Pool tables, poker tables, foosball, air hockey. They have it all right now. Shuffleboard. Great, beautiful shuffleboard tables there at Family Leisure. And, of course, get your pools, your spas right now, and they will be installed right away. You can be the first one to have it installed, so you make sure that you don't miss a warm day. Family Leisure, online at familyleisure.com, K10 and Ridgeview, or give them a call with any questions you've got, 877-775-3478, Family Leisure. Mr. Bohl, sir, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing just fine, Seren. How are you and yours? Everybody good at the household?
We're doing good right
good.
Now, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Good to hear.
No complaints.
Yeah. Mama Pet's good?
I completed the task of setting up a new computer for my mom.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was painless.
Yeah, I'll bet that
completely
was
painless. Not
that
one
was, I'll bet that
second.
Was fun.
Not 1 second.
Now, how do you turn this on?
We're going to print out a PDF. Who wants to try?
Yeah.
Nope. That's a great commercial, by the way.
Yes.
Back, those commercials are great.
You woke up early.
Yeah.
No one cares.
I'm not going to
bury
the waiter
doesn't have to know your name.
Yes. He doesn't need to know your name. I'm not going to bury the computer company, but this is the second time in 2 weeks I've done it.
Oh, boy.
And then I had to mail back the other one.
Oh, boy.
And so it's the kind that we got a big monitor, you know, easy for mom to see and everything.
Yeah.
Because I got her streaming shows like on Netflix and HBO and stuff, right?
Yeah, perfect.
So she watches it on her computer. The app, you know, if you went to a Roku or an Apple TV, that would be a bridge too far, I guess. So she just watched it. So we got the bigger screen for her to watch. And, you know, then I got to, you know, ship back the other one. And that was a joy to go into the shipping store and be carrying, you know, 50 pounds on my shoulder and have a couple of people look at me. And, you know, while they're leaning on the only table in the place and I'm holding this thing above my head for like 5 minutes in line.
They're not going to make room.
It was a butt lifter for them. And there was no setting it down on the table. So that was fun. That was fun. Good times. Good times. That was my morning.
There we go.
That was my morning. So we enjoyed.
You survived.
I did. It actually was fairly. It was actually fairly painless. I believe my mother panicked only 3 times. You know, what's your password? Password. First thing I said when I was like, make sure you get your passwords handy. I was like, here we go.
Yep.
But it was actually went very well. We do have a problem, though, Frank. We have one problem.
Oh, boy.
You know what the problem is?
No.
Before I left, I did not put solitaire on the toolbar.
Oh, man.
So I'm gonna have to go back and get solitaire.
Now I know how she spends her days. I know how Mama Pet
not
spends her
sweeper.
Days. Yes.
No.
A little solitaire.
Does she ever play spider solitaire? That's a good one, too.
Does she play? Yeah. Pyramid? Spider? Regular solitaire? What's Pyramid's tough.
What do you think I'm doing on the computer back here all day,
Never
Petro?
Mind.
Tetris.
I have no idea what pyramid solitaire is.
That's okay. Just remember the number 13.
Okay.
That helps me not one bit.
I keep that in mind. I'm in the middle of the Chiefs Zoom, of which they rambled through like 6-7 guys.
Yeah.
And I get, yeah, there's a problem. Can't find solitaire. Well,
Mom,
let me jump right on that.
I'm working
here. Let me push that right to the top of my list here. Hold on, Tyreek Hill. I've got to find solitaire.
Especially at dead time, because it's going right up into 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
At 1 to 2 o'clock hour. Yes. Yeah, yes.
So, but she said, okay, well, it'll wait till tonight.
I'll wait till 2:30.
Might wait longer than that if we're honest about it, Mom. I'll be honest. So anyway, yeah, that was the morning. So, but everyone's good. Everyone's good. No complaints.
That's all that counts.
Yes, no complaints.
Perfect.
All right, Frank. What do you make of Patrick Mahomes? Is he going to play? Right? Is that what everyone's asking you? Because that's what they all ask me.
Yeah, and I think virtually 100% he will play. I don't see him getting a big setback.
Wow. So you think the doctor thing is a scam?
No, I think he'll be checked on Friday and he'll get the independent check. I just think he's going to pass all the protocols and be there. He's already back out there today going through limited practice. And I know he's going through every step, and this is the exact step he should be taking today. He'll take another step tomorrow, another one on Friday, but I think 100% he plays on Sunday. The thing that worries me more than the concussion protocol is his big toe and how that feels this week. Staying off it a little bit, if he does have real turf toe, which they haven't told us, then that is, you know, that is a mobility problem. That hurts. Those things hurt. And that really limits being able to push off, being able to run. It's painful when you run. It's painful when you walk, for all practical purposes. So that's I worry about that a little bit more than I do the concussion thing. I think he's going to pass concussion protocol with flying colors.
Should Andy Reid be throwing away all design quarterback?
Yes. Players? I've said that ever since the 2 years ago. I've been saying when you do the RPO, that's one thing. That's a run-pass option, but you're going to, you know, you just.
He's not the runner.
Right, that's what I mean. The run-pass option's fine. And he's going to get hit during a game just passing the football. He's going to have to scramble because he's going to have to get out of the pocket and run with it. But running him on options, how valuable he is to this franchise is just crazy. To me, it's just crazy. And it has been ever since he won the MVP, the regular season MVP, even before the Super Bowl MVP, you know, from last year. I just said, running that guy on option plays has never made any sense to me. Really, running any NFL quarterback on option plays, maybe with the exception of maybe Lamar Jackson, somebody of that nature, I just don't see what you're gaining by doing that. And you're putting him in harm's way.
I would agree. My frustration is I don't know how he can be okay to run options but not okay to run a quarterback sneak.
That's now, since he has the turf toe, now I would understand this week maybe not doing it. But I agree with you totally, there, especially when you saw Baker Mayfield last week. How many? 3 sneaks for first downs? 2 or 3 for first downs. Tom Brady still sneaking first down. He stuck for a first down in a playoff game this past week. That was a freak accident there. I would much rather see him sneak than do any kind of option play where he is involved, because all the defense has to do is go out and get the back, make sure you cover the back, and make him run the ball, and we're gonna take a shot at him. Let's go. This is the deal for us. The defense is just sitting there going, go ahead, kid, you want to run the ball, take your chances, because we're gonna cover the back. You're not going to be able to option. He's going to be covered, and we're going to make you turn up field, and there you go. We're going to put you right in harm's way.
Didn't Nick Foles get into the game in Indianapolis because Alex Smith got concussed on an option play?
Yes. Absolutely. So Andy loves the option play with his quarterback, but I just don't think with this kid, his talent level, where you are, There are with his genius as an offensive play caller, as witnessed at the end of that football game this past Sunday, you can figure something else out besides putting that kid in harm's way.
I think if you didn't run it all during the regular season and then you broke it out in the playoffs, I would understand it a little bit more, but they've run it during the regular season, which means to me teams have prepped for it.
Uh-huh.
So they're a little bit more ready to defend it. And so I don't have any venom towards Andy Reid. I get why he does it. You know, he said when I asked him on Monday, yeah, you get a little bit better chance to protect yourself on the option than you do the quarterback sneak, which I guess theoretically, I don't know. I mean, he didn't, right?
But you're going from a standing start where nobody's moving, okay, on a quarterback sneak. You stand up there, nobody's moving. Defense ain't moving forward. Your guys aren't moving forward. You aren't moving forward. And then you snap the ball, and within a yard or two, without anyone being able to gain a whole lot of momentum, you're either going to get that first down or not. You're going to either try to go over, or you're going to try to bury yourself underneath and get it, okay? On the option play, you're going full speed, and so is the defense. You turn upfield, one of those linebackers is scraped off, and one of your offensive linemen missed him. As you turn upfield, he's at full tilt, right in the hole. And that is not good.
I think the Chiefs have got to invest in a center that can fire out and move some people so that they can run the sneak the way it's supposed to be run. Right? Like the problem on the one that he got hurt was he got like low and underneath he had linemen falling on him. That's
right.
Not how it never looks like that with Tom Brady. Now Tom Brady's longer and taller, but only by a few inches over Patrick Mahomes. You got to be able to get up on top of the pile, but it starts with the center rooting somebody out,
you know,
getting them moving forward.
Or even moving one side to the other. Either, you know, you're going to try to turn that defensive guy left or right, and then the quarterback's got to go, okay, I see where it's going, so I'll stick my head in here with the football. Yeah.
I'm always stunned at when the defense leaves a gap over the guard, and then you're like, just tap that side. Here we go.
Yeah.
And go get it. But, yeah, I don't think if you can't sneak it, you can't option it.
No, heck no. And here's the other thing. Really, you should be working on your running back, okay, and your offensive line. Getting you've talked about this all season, is to be able to get a yard. All right? Counting on a guy, one of your running backs, a guy who's supposed to be able to do it, Darrell Williams, whomever, to get you a yard with your offensive line. But that doesn't seem to work. So I think that's the reason he continued to go with the option play for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, they are where they are now.
Yes.
Right? They're not going to get a new line.
No, they're
the
not.
Game,
exactly.
So they're a finesse offensive line, a good one, by the way. I'm not saying that to be negative, but they're just not the kind that's going to bulldoze people. And my frustration is with anyone who's like, well, why don't you just run it? Because they suck at that.
That's exactly right. And they have all year. Look how many times they've been down on a goal line, you know? And all of a sudden they got, you know, double reverse pitch pass to somebody. You know what I mean? You're going, what are you doing? It's third and one from the one. What is
Farmer
going
Fred
on here?
Called in today, and he was all upset. I have no problem with not liking the call. I do have a problem where you act like Andy Reid's an idiot, or like, no, like they're limited. They don't do the 1 yard thing well, right? Now you can build a team like that. Marty Schottenheimer's teams did the 1 yard thing really well. Do you want to go back to that style of football? Because I don't.
Yeah. No,
part of the
does.
Reason they're good at getting 25 yards on third and 20 is because they don't spend very much time worrying about getting one yard on third and one.
Yes.
And if you get stopped there, fine. But there's a lot of teams that are good at third and one that don't come close to converting on the long down stuff.
Right.
That's more important.
Right. Go
ahead, Frank.
Yeah, and you also, you know, you figure you saw what happened when that happened with him. And then you get into a situation at the end of the game, and you see Andy's genius. I mean, he's got a backup quarterback. He's got an empty backfield, and he's got a fourth and inches. And the defense right away is going, hey, there's nobody in the backfield. Chad Henne isn't doing it. What is this deal? So
he has one of the great play anticipators in the history of television sports, Tony Romo.
Going, there's no
look
way.
Look at the body language. Right. No way they're running a play.
And the
Boom.
Deal is, and not only do they run the play, they let the play clock get down to under five. So right away, the defense going, oh, okay, we got about three or four more seconds. They're being set. What? He's running out. They're in man-to-man defense. They had no chance. Yeah. had no chance to cover Tyreek Hill. And you got the backup throwing the ball to him. And you just go, jeez, that took some onions.
I think that they could alleviate, and I think Andy Reid is better than most coaches at going for it on fourth. But if you just knew, if you were prepared to go for it on fourth more, third and one wouldn't be this, like, let's just try to get one play call. It would be, let's try to get 15, let's try to get 20, let's try to get a touchdown. And you might not be left with so many fourth and ones, because I think once you do, just, all right, let's tighten the formation.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just try to get a new set of downs. How about just attack on third? Consider third and one just like second and one. And if you go on third and one and fourth and one, you run your regular offense. Like, when was the last time they didn't get 1 yard over two plays?
Right,
and
you're going to get it.
That's a great point. If you watch a team run the same kind of run play on third and one and then go for it on fourth and one, aren't you going, what the hell was that on third and one then? If you're going to go for it, hell, go up top, do something. If you're going to go for it on fourth and one, don't try to get just the 1 yard on third down. That's a really good point on that.
Yeah,
I just your decision on whether or not you're going to go for it on fourth down should be made before the third down play call. And the third down play call should take into account that we've got two downs on this one. And by the way, you should make that decision to go for it much more often.
Mm-hmm.
What was it Eric Eager said yesterday? I'd like to introduce Bruce Arians to a down. It's called fourth.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought that was a brilliant way of putting it. Like, no, this one counts. You can use it, right? The fourth and 18, we got it. You're punting. But I am telling you, 10 years from now, fourth and three at your own 48 is going to be a no-brainer. They're not even going to talk about the punter coming out on the field.
Right.
Because, and if you are, you suck. You're not going anywhere. I hope you're tanking. Because it's the only reason to think that, you know, to do that, to punt. They're tanking. They're going for the hot quarterback at Georgia. So, you know, they don't want to win. That's why they're punting on fourth and three at their own 48. I really think that the coaches are going to recognize, because what is the point of punting the ball back? You know, in this game, is it the four highest scoring teams that are left in the playoffs? I know the Chiefs are actually the lowest scoring team left
of the four
in the playoffs.
Teams, yeah. Which is
right? So
mind-boggling.
The other three average more than 30 a game. So
correct.
Like, they're probably going to go get a field goal. Like, what do teams average on every possession? If you're averaging 30, well, you're averaging what do we got usually, Curtis? Eight possessions?
Yeah.
Eight or nine? If you have eight possessions and you're scoring, let's say, 32 points, they're averaging 4 points a possession. Right, one of them was averaging 31.9. And I think the scoring is going to get to that. So when you play good teams, they're averaging 4 yards a possession. And, you know, pretty much from anywhere, they're capable of scoring. So what's the difference? Like, nobody, like, almost all these defenses are like, well, we'll give you all the way back to our own 20. And then we'll try to hold you to a field goal. Because mathematically, that's actually a successful defensive possession if they get three instead of four.
Oh, I agree with that totally. In the NFL, in this day and age. That's exactly right.
So it's a big load of crap when you're like, well, I don't want to give them the ball at midfield. Why? They're going to be there anyway. I mean, that's how the style of defense everyone plays now. Like, nobody's, you know, the 46, you know, Buddy Ryan defense where we're trying to blitz them at their own five and get a sack for a safety. Nobody's doing that. So, like, why don't you play the offense that goes with the defense you're throwing at them?
And it's very evident now, by the way, everybody has been playing the Chiefs and started to play the Chiefs towards the end of last year. And now everybody plays the Chiefs basically the same way. They rush four guys, and they feel they win if they hold you to three on every possession. You know, they're going, okay, they're going to get three. Okay, we just don't want them to get seven. This is when you kick off, okay? They're going to get three. We just don't want them to get seven. Let's go play.
I mean, it's, you know, I think that they're slowly going there, but it's kind of like feeling the ice, you know. All right, it's true. We're in Nova Scotia. It's January. It's been below freezing for 2 months, but I'm still just going to tiptoe out there. Like, it's solid ice. Go on out there. They're driving semis across it now. Go.
Ice road truckers.
Walk out there.
That's exactly right. And I also think, too, in some ways, it's a little bit of, how secure some of the head coaches are as well. Even though it'll change to every head coach will do it. You know, head coach, it might be on the hot seat a little bit. You know, that fourth down at midfield, I can win this game. I better punt. And I better not go for it. I better punt now, see if my defense can hold him. Instead of, like Andy, we talked about this. We speculated if he hadn't won the Super Bowl last year, with same circumstance, loses Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne's quarterback, does he go for that fourth down?
Because I think I saw Adam Teicher tweet out after the game that the ESPN or somebody's win probability rate was 90.6 to win if they punt the ball in that situation. So I mean, he turned away with about a 90% chance.
Yeah,
but it's because he knew you get it. It's 100.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And the fact you can turn around and go, what were Houston's odds of winning when they were up 24-0?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But just on one possession, he increased his likelihood 10% to 100%. You get it, you win.
Right. And I also think his mind's clear, and he's very confident where he is and loves the team he has. And, you know, he's got the Super Bowl. He's got the brass ring. And he's playing free and easy now, which is dangerous, which is bad news for everybody else in the league.
It's, you know, Reed always says, well, it's what you got left on the play sheet and how you've been playing. And I do think there's something to it. I don't think there's a fourth down chart out there, which would be easily printable to put on your play card or, to, you know, here's where I go for it. And I think there probably should be one there just to remind you, okay, I'm in the neighborhood. I mean, I think there is something to, like, I thought Spagnuolo's defense looked completely gassed late in the game.
Yes.
And I think there was, like, where he had a 91%, you know, win percentage if he punts. You know, I would worry with, you know, what if he had punted there, it had been 150, right? Wasn't that where they let it
tick
down?
I think it was at 115.
Yeah, 115. Okay. They had no timeouts left.
Yeah,
and
the final snap, the
41
play was at 114.
48-yard line.
They had a little less than a minute. More than a minute.
Chiefs are at their own 48, and Cleveland had no timeouts.
I think because of the no timeouts, they were going to get it done. But they were a really worn-out defense. You know, they faced, what, 3 fourth downs on the last drive?
Yep.
And not gotten them stopped. There were a lot of plays. There were a lot of guys. Tyrann Mathieu, when the ball was snapping, you know, looked like he was a tailback in the backfield, leaning over, both hands on his knees. You know, he looked like a college basketball player waiting for Dean Smith to take him out, tugging on the shorts.
Right.
You know, like they were worn out. And so I think that contributed to his decision. I think Andy Reid did do what he always tells us, which is like, okay, there are factors that go into it. It's you got to get into the game and see it. But there should be a guiding principle that we're going to be aggressive. And, you know, I don't think you got to have a cutesy play with only one option every time. I think you can just drop back and let Mahomes do his thing.
Oh, he's your guy. Paid him half a billion. He's your guy. Just let him go do it. And he's very successful at it. So, and he's got supreme confidence. And the players have supreme confidence in him. So all that meshes. You know, hey, the one thing I wanted to ask you was, when you print out that fourth down chart, is that on the same page as a 2-point conversion chart, by any chance?
can put them back to back and have it its own.
Would some of these guys, I don't know, whose 2-point conversion chart? Are there different 2-point conversion charts, or are they all the same?
There are now. The new down 14, score and go for two, that's a new one.
Yeah, the extra point being moved back is kind of changed that whole dynamic.
Yeah.
Some people still do it at times, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Wait a minute. Yes, you know.
Oh, first
drive
Mike
of the third
Tomlin.
Quarter or something. You're going, what are you going for two here for?
Second quarter.
Yeah, second quarter.
No, it's like he's pulling to within, you know, 8 or whatever. I'm going, there's 5 minutes left or going in the second quarter. You have no idea what number you need to get to.
Yeah.
That still drives me nuts.
You take the 95% 1 point over the 50-50 2 points. Because you don't get one if you miss on the 2-pointer. You get 0.
And you'll see teams do it that you know don't have. Like the Chiefs, maybe you have the kind of offense set up to where you think you got some wizardry, you can make that play. You see some teams that have no offensive firepower on them, but why are they going for 2? Yeah. You've got no shot at this.
What do you think? And then you see some of the play calls.
Right.
Oh, We'll try to lob it to the back corner.
Oh, yeah,
the
right. Fade. The old fade, you know, into the back end.
When you see a fade, even if it works, you're like, dumbass, what are you doing?
That's just
and
we
even
have
after
no
he
answer.
Catches it, you go, dumbass, what'd you call that play?
The last, and I will, someone will have to convince me that this is not the case. The last fade that I saw that was completed in an important game was to Plaxico Burress in the Super Bowl 13 years ago. I have not been shown any evidence that there's been a fade pass completed since then.
Oh, boy.
And Plax was 6'5", working on a guy who was 5'11", I think, in that play.
When they throw that, it's always like, you know, it's always like, well, I'm going to make sure it doesn't get picked. No, this is the one that can be picked.
Yes.
You know, like it's not like we got three. Like, I don't want to lose the three. This is it. You have to complete this. And how many times do you see on the fade on the two, it's thrown where the guy has no chance of catching it?
Oh, right.
Not a shot.
Oh, they're looking for a call.
No. I mean, I get it. There's a pick two. But if you throw a pick two on a fade to the corner of the end zone, you're fired. I mean, you're out. Like, you can't short arm it that short and not be able to get over there to make the tackle. It's almost impossible.
The shortest measurement of time now is the time between the fade being called and the first person on Twitter going, I hate the fade. 0.0008 seconds. Boom.
When they line up, somebody's already, I hate the fade, ready to hit send in case it is called the fade. Right.
Boom, there it is. I win.
I'm going to hate the fade call as soon as it goes. Oh, damn it, I actually hit it and it worked. God. When did Plaxico Burress get back in the league? What the hell's going on here?
Poor Plaxico, yeah. Picking on him. And with that win last week against the Browns, because of the way it ended and how it ended and Mahomes' injury and then Henny coming in and doing what he did and the fourth and inches call and the whole thing, sometimes we lose track of Darrell Williams, Sorensen's hit, Tyrann Mathieu, Legarius Sneed, Kelce and Hill, okay, 16 catches, 219 yards between them. Kelce, 9 straight games, 7-plus catches. There's just all this other stuff that happened that we forget about that was so important to that football game.
Just isolate Travis Kelce on the touchdown that he scored on the second in 19 from the 20-yard line. And just if anyone thinks he's not the best tight end in football right now, just watch the way he completely loses that defensive back, makes the catch, and then has the physicality to get into the end zone from 5 yards out. Wow. You're just like, forget it. you can't do those things.
What do we do with that guy?
How many of his catches came from him leaving the line of scrimmage from the tight end position?
Probably, what did he have? Seven, what do you have?
I think he had eight. Eight
catches.
Eight or nine?
Probably
eight,
one.
I
think it was eight for like
one or
ten.
Two.
Okay, Curtis?
I was going to say one.
Okay, Jed?
Probably be all of them.
I'll go one also.
Zero. I think it was five from the slot and three from out wide.
Yeah.
Which to me is like, you're like, so he's no tight end, he's a wide out. Well, I don't care what the hell you call him. I really don't. He's great.
All I know is no one can cover him.
He has to have a position. So I call him a tight end just for fun.
I guarantee you he went out there because they were using linebackers and safeties, and one, it gave away the defense, okay, man versus zone,
right.
And then, you know, he could take advantage of him. Andy Reid put him in a position to succeed. And he is a better push and pester blocker. He's not a pancake guy, but he can push and pester better than people give him credit for when it comes to the blocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Tony Gonzalez blocking.
And he manned up and said, hey, good. On the last one, on the sack, on that last drive, I got to stay in the huddle longer. I didn't hear the entire play. I ran the wrong route.
Yeah.
Because you can see Henny was looking, oh, crap. Because he went to, like, the throw. Oh, he's not where he's supposed to be, and he had to eat it.
And he said to us yesterday, well, we had a wrong route, and so I just had to make sure I secured the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to escape. It wasn't there. Then I had to secure the ball. So that's how it happened.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll get some Frank opinions coming up next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It wouldn't stay up. It would stay down. Yeah. It never froze in the up position.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. Who was the first president to be inaugurated on January 20th?
It used to be like March or April.
March 4th.
Like March 4th. I'm going to go with Kennedy.
Frank?
I don't have the slightest idea.
It was Franklin Roosevelt in 1937, the second of his four inaugurations. It had previously been...
You weren't too far off.
Okay. Pretty good. It was moved back with the adoption of the 20th Amendment, which was to shorten the lame duck period between the elections and the inauguration. That amendment also moved back the date that the new Congress members took office from March 4th to January 3rd. So Roosevelt's second inauguration was the first one held on January 20th.
Yeah.
By the way, can I tell you this is Curtis's favorite end of the hour day?
Nope, not true. Election day by far.
No, this is even more fun.
No, because you had to wait till the next day.
Because people don't know this stuff. People know election stuff. The inauguration stuff is interesting to me.
This is where you find the great lineage of Raytown snobs like Curtis, who likes to show you how much more he knows about the presidency than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when he gets to wheel it out and say, look at me, I'm a big deal.
Actually, I just use Wikipedia and
hope it's right.
That's not true.
And hope it's
You can name.
Oh, well, yeah, I can name all the presidents.
Can you or can you not name every president in order?
Yes, he can.
Yes.
Yeah, and without even a problem, right?
Right.
Let alone the Heisman Trophy.
That makes you a snob in my book.
I used to be able to. If someone could just give me a number, I'd tell you who it was. And that's I don't quite have that. Ooh, that's tough. 16, 79, 25. And that might take me. 22 was the Grover Cleveland. That was the first of his two administrations. He was 22 and 24.
The only ones I know are one is Washington, right?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Two was Jefferson.
Adams.
Damn it. Two was Adams. Three was Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Was 8 Martin Van Buren?
Yep.
I wrote a report on Martin Van Buren.
That's also a Seinfeld reference. That's the only reason I know that one.
In school, I wrote a report on Martin Van Buren.
That's
16
funny.
Was Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
46 is Biden. 45 is Trump. 44 is Obama. 43 is Bush. 42 is Clinton. Mm-hmm. 41. Let's see how far back I could go. I could name. I guess 44, 45, and 46. If you just hit me with 43, I'd have to rattle through it, you know. But I could probably go back all the way to FDR, but I don't have anybody who's before FDR. I can get them all in order from, you know, all the way back to FDR. But after that,
the one part where I'm a little hazy is between Grant and McKinley. Like that late part of the 1800s, I'm like, wait, which one was Benjamin Harrison? Where was he? Where was Rutherford B. Hayes? I get that a little. I have to think about that for a second, but I'm pretty good on the other stuff.
What you would do, what Frank, you were at Jefferson's inauguration.
Yeah,
right?
No, well, I was with Washington Valley Forge. Kidding me? Spent a winter there, man. It's cold.
Oh,
only
boy.
President, all right, only president never to serve in Washington.
That's right.
We were playing for Great Cajun Food Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's what we were playing for there. You can get it right now, jazzkitchen.com. The finest Cajun food anywhere. Get it tonight. Let's get some Frank opinions in here, Kay. Where do we begin?
When Patrick Mahomes left the game, did you think the Chiefs would win, yes or no?
Yes, I thought so.
Yeah, I think they were still going to win. I think they were up nine. I think people thought they'd get it done. And it was the Browns. Beat Browning.
Yes is the correct answer. Mm-hmm. 50.2 to 49.8.
You know, faith.
That's as close. That's one of the closest ones we've ever had. Well, clearly, you couldn't get much closer.
Of little faith.
Chiefs fans are still trying to figure out that. They're trying to, you know, accept that whole we're the heavy thing now. They still, I've seen this before.
Yeah, right.
Seen this movie before. I'm like, dude, they've won 24-25.
You are a relax. Steroided to the teeth version of Ivan Drago.
Pimple-backed fool.
And there is no Rocky coming to kick your ass, all right? So you're fine. Relax.
You are the guy.
There's no 5'6" guy running through the mountains of
Russia.
Yeah, what is it? The gulags of Russia.
The Urals.
All right, who would you rather see the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl, Packers or Buccaneers?
Well, I think they'd rather see him play the Buccaneers because I think – they'd have a better chance of beating. Yeah, I think they'd love to beat Brady anyway. So
they beat him once. They figure they'll beat him again. Yeah. They're the lower seeded team, so yeah. I think they'll say the Bucs.
57-43 Pack.
Oh, God,
really?
Now, I worded that question slightly different to see if I'd get a different response. Who would you rather see Patrick Mahomes beat in the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Brady.
Yeah, that one became Bucks.
Brady, 52-48. They'd rather see him play the Chiefs, but the Packers, but they'd rather see him beat Brady.
Not by much.
That's interesting. Philip Rivers announcing his retirement. Will he be in the Hall of Fame, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
60-40, yes.
Does he belong in the Hall of Fame?
I think so. He's top five in a lot of categories, and I think he's six or seven in another in all the offensive categories. Now, he never won a Super Bowl, obviously, but and that's the big knock
never
against
played
him.
Never played in one. That's not many guys.
Played in one. Yeah, that's right.
Gotten there without playing in one. Played in one conference championship game?
Yeah.
You know, that was a jerk thing to do to Frank there.
No, it was okay.
I mean, hasn't even played in one.
I was just talking.
How many guys have won it without playing in it?
That's true.
Okay,
it's all right. It's okay.
But see, not many guys. I mean,
see, I never think about
Warren,
that.
But Warren Moon's in. He never even played in the conference championship game. At least Rivers got to one of those.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a
numbers have a lot to do with it.
Yeah. I think he should be in.
Yeah.
Wow. Good times.
He hauled some dog ass Charger offenses to some points over the years.
I agree, but I do think, man, over 20
last part
years,
of year.
Over 20 years, you ought to get there once.
Yeah.
I won't argue that fact, and that'll be the biggest argument against him.
17 seasons, not one. Yeah.
I'm a Rivers defender, but I'm kind of like, oof, you probably ought to get there once.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He just always sort of gave you the game.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. I've heard that talk, and I don't think that's fair. I think he was a guy that unlike Alex Smith, who would rather lose the game 30 yards from the end zone in a game he's trailing by five and not throw an interception along the way, let the clock just run out on him. Phillip Rivers looked at it and said, I've got 16 seconds. We're 45 yards away. I've got to get 25 of it here. It doesn't matter whether it's picked or not. We have to get it. And I think nobody had more he'd end the game with an interception. Yes, and Alex Smith would end the game with the clock running out on him. Or running out of downs because he never pushed the ball down the field. What does it matter? There's no difference. Either way, you lose. I'd rather have a guy who at least took a shot at winning as opposed to Alex Smith wouldn't even throw the ball down the field at the end of a half. He'd run for 14 yards instead of just throw it down into the end zone. That's the thing I appreciate about Mahomes. He's not worried. If I get a pick at the end of the half, so what? Like last year or in his MVP year, what did he have? 12 picks?
I think it was 12, 11 or 12.
12, and I want to say three of them were at the end of halves where he just threw the ball down the field. Alex Smith wouldn't even do that. Hmm. He'd find some reason why he was flush from the pocket and run for 18 yards. Yay.
All right, who is the second best coach in the Big 12? I caught some flack from somebody on this phrasing in this question. Who was the second best head coach, basketball coach in the Big 12? Chris Beard, Bob Huggins, Scott Drew, Bill Self.
Oh.
Second best?
I left, yes. I wanted to find who the second best was. I thought, well, if I don't put Bill Self in there, I leave open, you know, someone might think somebody else is the best. So I put him in there.
Oh, wow.
Who's the second
best?
You're
fine to put him in there. No one has to vote. The idea that you put him in there for the shut up, whoever complains.
Yeah.
I think.
Thank you.
I'm going to say because of recency bias, I'll say Scott Drew.
I think Chris Beard.
41% said Chris Beard. 27% said Scott Drew. 16% said Bob Huggins. And 16% said Bill Self.
And all of them went MIC after they
clicked. Yes, I'm sure they did. What would be the better move for Eric Bieniemy? Take the Texans job? Take the Eagles job? Stay in KC and wait for 2022?
Stay in KC and wait for 2022.
I am of the opinion he should get an offensive coordinator job where he can call the plays.
I should have put that in there.
But can he do that?
The fourth option.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis. I pointed this out. Marvin Lewis.
He can take a lateral move.
They'd have to make him the associate head coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're a young defensive guy, the Rams guy that got the Chargers job, wouldn't you want Eric Bieniemy coming in to handle Herbert and set the tone and call your plays? Right. Like, so you make him the associate. You make Eric Bieniemy the associate head coach, offensive coordinator. And because the Chiefs, the associate head coach is Dave Tope. So that's actually that raises him up, and then he could call the plays, because that's what Marvin Lewis did. Marvin Lewis left the Ravens after not getting jobs with the after doing a great job with the Ravens defense. He took the Washington DC and associate head coach job for 1 year, and then he got the Bengals job.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't even think down those lines.
I really think that's what he needs to do. Kind of like, you know, the son coaching under the dad, and everyone's like, He's going to be the next, you know, Sutton, when he just took over for Eddie Sutton. Like, no, go out and be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Go figure out the head coaching part. There's valuable experience to be gained. Okay, for him, I don't think he should have to do it, right? But if the problem is, okay, listen, I don't interview well, which maybe they're all old white farts, and they're never going to
– Easy.
Sorry. or it's like, you know, or the knock on me is my past, which is behind me, and I know I made mistakes, but that's not it. Well, I'm going to at least eliminate the he's never called plays part from what it is. They're gonna have to. It's why I think they should publicly say, this is why you're not getting the job. And if it's not calling plays or not coaching quarterbacks or your past or you don't interview well, then at least the guy can go work on it. And every other coach that comes along behind him is armed with that information so that they make their resume more complete. If the idea is actually – see, I don't think the idea is to actually get more black head coaches. I think that these are old school, somewhat systemic racist owners, many of them, at least enough of them, to create this problem, that they don't really want it. What they want is everybody off their ass. Or maybe they don't care. Right, it's not that they don't want it. Here's probably a better way to put it. It's not that they don't want more black coaches. They don't want less black head coaches. They just don't care. They don't want to be bothered with it. They want more money and more money and more money, and that's it. And if you can come through the system, broken as it might be, as a black head coach, and you can win and make them more money, they're happy to hire you. But as far as actually helping young black coaches, young coaches of minority coaches, young coaches of color, they really don't care. They just want to do whatever it is that gets a fat ass like me off their back. That's what they want. So the Rooney Rule got us off their back for a while. Well, we're interviewing guys. And now we're like, okay, we're still on them. And so they'll come up with something new. Okay, we'll give a third-round pick. You know, hopefully that'll incentivize someone to go ahead and take their second-best choice that's black. Right? That's literally what that is. I have to believe that's what it is. Like, that is not my favorite way of doing it. I don't mind it because I think it might actually tip the scale in someone's favor. But if you really wanted more coaches of color to advance, you would tell them why they're not getting the job, and you would do it publicly, so some guy who's a running backs coach at Louisiana Tech who is aspiring to be a head coach knows the path he needs to take. You would help him out.
That's a good point. I think a lot of teams, too, now are hiring black general managers, at least some, and that takes the pressure off them about a black head football coach.
True.
For that same
How about
franchise.
This? How about this? You're 6'3", 215 pounds. You're the number 4 dual-threat quarterback. Or, no, you're the number 20, 25 dual-threat quarterback. But you're the number 5 athlete, and Georgia wants to make you a wide receiver. But Howard or any, you know, Delaware, where Matt Nagy played, says you can come play quarterback.
Right.
If what you ultimately want to do is be a head coach, you should go to Delaware and play quarterback.
Totally agree.
If you look at it and go, I'm not, or maybe you're the 30th best wideout and the 50th best dual threat quarterback, and Georgia will bring you in, or K-State will bring you in as a wideout, and you're like, listen, I don't really think, and this is hard because most kids all think they're going pro. But you sit there and you think, I'm probably not going to be a pro, but I want to be in football and I want to coach. Then you should go to Delaware and be a quarterback. You should go to Lehigh and be a quarterback. You should go to Eastern Illinois and be a quarterback. You should do whatever it takes to play quarterback, because that's who they're hiring on the offensive side of the ball, former quarterbacks. But you don't know that because they won't tell you that. So you go play wide out, try to get in the league, end up being a wide receivers coach, get typecast, never get a shot at being an OC. Or you do, under Andy Reid, call in plays, and everybody says, well, really, Andy's the guy, and you don't get your shot because you didn't coach the quarterbacks, because you didn't play quarterback.
It's a good point.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
What was the question?
I don't know.
We already did it.
We're done.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Petro by 2.
Right, we'll take a break.
I'm like the Washington Generals. What the hell is this? Me and Lebo.
We'll take a break. What in the world, Saran? How stupid am I on current events? It's next here in the program.
The Program with Saran Petro.
Travis?
Hey, how are you? All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Frank, what in the world? What do you got for me?
All right, buddy. Last president inaugurated indoors.
FDR. I'll try.
Reagan, 85, 7 degrees in Washington, D.C. that day. Only president sworn in by a former president.
Only president sworn
in. Long time ago.
Oh, 1925. I don't know who was the Supreme Court guy that was. I don't know.
Who was the president?
Who was it? What year?
25.
I don't know.
Calvin Coolidge by Coolidge. William Howard Taft. How many people did Trump pardon on his way out the door?
All total or just today
total.
Or something? Was it 100?
Yeah, very good. And nobody won the Mega Millions. How much is it worth now?
I got a ticket for $975
million. Yeah, I'm going to get one. I promise I'll give you some.
Thank you. I'll give you some, too.
Okay,
Frank.
I'm going to give you some.
Let's win it.
Let's win it.
It,
man.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC Sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, who was the first president to have his inauguration televised? Brought to you by Good Sense.